Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, all. I welcome all of you. I want to begin one announcement. Remember that next week, time change. Got to get up an hour earlier. Do you ever have nightmares about waking up on time? I had nightmares in high school for some reason about waking up. So I decided to make a watch out of watches. I made a, you know, hooked a bunch of watches together and made a whole belt out of it. It was a waste of time. There's a lot of work to get to that one, wasn't there? By way of announcements, you see some of the things going up on the bulletin. This morning we do serve Holy Communion. All are welcome to come forward and partake. When you're invited, you'll be able to come forward and I'll hand you a piece of bread. Take and eat. Take a cup. Drink the cup as you are ready. Place the empty cups in the basins that you see, the baskets that you have up front. It is called intincture, and so we gather and we celebrate communion this morning. Pastor Neil will not be here, but I don't understand why. He seems to be in Australia. I don't think the commute should be that difficult, but that's just me. Are there other announcements that we need to lift by way of gathering ourselves? Debbie Gunther is going to bring us to center here, chair of our mission committee.
Thank you. Good morning. First off, thank you, everybody that went to Jess Grill. I got a check yesterday. They are very good. They gave a check for $300. So thank you. And the next one, March, is March 21st at Sabor over at Town Center. That will be lunch and dinner too, 11 to 8. So thank you.
All right. That was awfully hard. All you had to do is go and eat, and you raised a little bit of money for mission work. Sandy Tinney doesn't necessarily have to sell you anything, but we are gathering things for the women's gathering. Are we doing that in the right place? We're getting all there, okay.
Yes, and I'd like to say thank you for the people that have already donated, but we do need pill bottles. What we do with the pill bottles is we break down the gallon or the quart bottles of shampoo and conditioner and put them in the pill bottles. All you need to do is cross out your name. I'm using contact paper to redo on the bottles. Okay. Thank you for all your good gifts.
Okay, so if you have empty RX, you get your medicine in the little. What color are those? Brown, orange. You know what I'm talking about, though, but bring those in. So that's a good recycling use. So another option there for you to help with mission stuff. Other things for the good of the order. We are coming. I think we're gathered. I think we're set to begin our worship this morning. Are there any other announcements for the good of the order? If not, stand, if you will, wave hello to one another. Let's turn as Debbie leads us in our call to worship.
Well, it looks like everyone's already standing, so let's go ahead and start the call to worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, will you join me in worshiping the Lord? We give thanks, O Lord, for the nourishing moisture that waters the earth in preparation for spring. May the warmth of the sun and new growth remind us of the warmth of the sun and the new life he brings. We have come to give thanks and lift our voices in praise of the Lord Almighty. Lord God, you have made each day blessings in our midst, and we gather to give you thanks. The days grow longer as we move closer to spring and summer, seasons of warmth, sunshine, of growth, and play. Please remain standing for our first hymn, Come and Find the Quiet Center, in your Faith We Sing book, page 2128.
Come and find the quiet center in the crowded life we lead. Find the room for hope to enter. Find the frame which we are free. Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear our eyes that we can see. All the things that really matter, be at peace and simply be. Silence is a friend who claims us, cools the heat and slows the pace. God it is who speaks and names us, knows our being. Touches base, making space within our thinking, lifting chairs to show the sun, rising courage when we're shrinking, find the scope for faith begun. In the spirit, let us travel. Open to each other's pain. Let our loves and fears unravel. Celebrate the space we gain. There's a place our deepest dreaming. There's a time for heart to care. And the spirit's lively scheme. There is always room to spare. Please be seated.
Our first scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13 and 18 through 19. And if you want to look for it in your pew Bibles, it's Old Testament, pages 657 to 658. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. What then do you gain by going to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what do you gain by going to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your wickedness will punish you, and your apostasies will convict you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The ensemble has a piece. I may have been the one that didn't get it in the bulletin. Regardless, I want you to all print it in there and make it look like it was typed all along so nobody will know. But I invite the ensemble forward to share with us a piece of music. The title is Come Taste the Joy of the Lord.
name.
That was God's holy thunder. You know, you're privileged because when the Academy Awards are on, they don't let you see all that backstage action going on. And so here you get to see the technicians. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your good works. We turn to our prayer time. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of the prayers that we continue to lift. There is the possibility of some cessation, at least temporarily, for the battle going on in the Middle East. Pray. Pray hard. This needs to stop. Amen? And we pray for those who are in harm's way, who are trying to keep the peace, who are diligently and sometimes frighteningly in harm's way. I want to lift Richard Schneer. He is ill at home. And Richard is, as you know, indomitable. So whatever he's got, it's got him by the got him pretty good. So prayers for Rich. I also want to lift the people in Texas, largest fire in the state's history. Is that what I understand? The state is burning up, and on top of that is flooding in other parts of the country and snow. One of the largest and most blizzardly blizzards. I don't know how you call that, but severe blizzarding in the northwest and the north. We didn't get it. Maybe that's all right with us. Do you have concerns? Excuse me. Carol Danielson.
Yes, pray for those in the panhandle of Texas. My nephew lives there. It came within 10 miles of him. A young couple lost 300 head of cattle. It was their first baby that they're due, and they lost their house.
Okay. That's incredible. We understand some of what that wildfire business is about, but prayers for them. Prayers. And UM Corps is already there. So if you are giving, if you are able, give to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. They prepare for adversities, and the local pastors are the ones who do the administration of those funds, so they know who to give it to and who needs it. Other prayers of concern. By celebrations, I know Stephanie was ill, and you never get sick, Stephanie, so she was down for a week. 7 days makes 1 week, doesn't it, Stephanie? Glad to have you back in our midst and on the mend, if you will. Other celebrations include Ruella Contour. Did I get it right? The 10th. The 10th. You're going to be an octogenarian, 80 years young. Is that right? Happy birthday to you, Ruella. And Hadley Mitchell has a birthday coming up on the same day. She's going to be almost the same age. You're going to be 13? A teenager. Oh, happy birthday to you. Mike and Courtney Mitchell celebrating 17th anniversary on that same day. Big Sunday coming up next week. Remember to get up an hour early. You get an extra hour, Hadley. Ruella, you... Oh, that's right, you lose an hour. Sorry. Took it away. Other celebrations. Paya Calamini, please.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank you all for your prayers for a little baby 3 months old Elisa. She's home and is weaning off of oxygen. And then today is our grandson's 12th birthday, Manuel. Manatumelie, and tomorrow is little Ngalu's 4th birthday. And then Tuesday is Elizabeth Elaine's 7th birthday.
All right, lots of birthdays going on. The partying in the Tongan area is going to be wild and long-lasting. Prayers for you guys to be able to keep up with it all. Celebrations. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. Join with me, if you will. Let's responsively read our unison prayer. You find it in your bulletin or on the screen. Lord, hear us as we pray. Come to us, O God, and fill us with the vision of your majesty and the reality of your care. Touch our emotions as well as our understanding. Guide us to walk by faith as well as by knowledge. Give us courage to trust in you, even when the way before us is not clear. Amen. Let's take a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, creator of all things, creative order out of chaos, thank you for this moment with you this morning. And thank you for the gifts that you bestow upon us. Thank you for the moisture. Thank you also for the sunshine, the beautiful days, the snow on the mountains, the picturesque days. As we are celebrating, we pause in our journey because we are in Lent. And Lord, you journey with us. Our 40 days in the wilderness, times of contemplation, times of introspection, times to pause and ask, where have we walked faithfully and where have our feet failed us? Lord God, you never fail us. You are always with us, always leading us, sometimes carrying us, and we are grateful. As we are about these journeys, there are temptations. Guide us from them. And guard us from temptations that appear to be blessings, to understand how to follow you faithfully, and how to stay on the path that Jesus Christ shows us. Lord God, we come and we gather, and you are with us. You hear our prayers this morning. You hear the prayers of each person individually. You hear our private prayers. And Lord, you are present with us during the busy days and in the dark stillness of the night. We are grateful. Hear us, Lord, as we gather as your community and gather in prayer with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask Barbara to bring us an offertory.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the scripture of the gospel. This week's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. It's page 94 in the Pew Bible. On the last day of the harvest festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite Holly and Stephanie and Hadley and Beau and all the kiddos forward. Kelly, get up here. You're a good motioner. We have our video song. Do we know what it is, Pyle? What did we end up with? It will come as a wonderful surprise to all of us.
I don't know.
You were, huh? We do have a song, but I don't think you got it to me, so I don't remember what we picked. We're going to find out, huh? Did we? Oh, yes, we did. The gray hair. Right. We're ready when you all are ready, Miss Pye. Y'all, sit down. Have you ever heard a scripture? We didn't read one this morning, but the scripture will come along and I'll say, and the Lord appeared to so-and-so in a dream. Have you ever heard that phrase? Anybody heard that phrase ever? Okay, good. We're on the same page. Well, last Sunday night, I had a dream. And I woke up from the dream, you know, about the middle of the night, and I thought, by golly, that's a sermon for next week. And I realized that the Lord was speaking to me, and I said, okay, Lord. And here it is. This is about holy water. You ever heard of holy water? Any church, you know, we had the church I served in Johnstown, we had a basement, and it was beautiful, fitted out for our preschool down there. When the water table came up, there was a crack in the wall, and water would come out of that crack. We were trying to sell it for holy water. Nobody went for it. Holy water, holy water. You know, what has that got to do with anything? We are in Lent. How many of you knew we were in the season of Lent? and have your friends come up to you and say, you go to church, don't you? What is Lent? Anybody ever done that to you? Well, they ought to. And what would you answer if they said that? It's that time between, when the preacher says we got to do, there's so many Sundays of it, and it's this season in the church, and they put up the purple vestments and all of that sort of thing. But it's the journey with Christ in the desert, in the wilderness. On the table, Linda has her terrarium. We've had it up there through Lent. It is cactus, cacti. Isn't that the plural of cactus? And there are cacti in there, and it represents that high desert. There are different wildernesses. You recall that Jesus was cast out right after his baptism. The Lord came down, the Spirit said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And immediately, Jesus was out in the wilderness. And he confronted his temptations. But I had to pause as I was rewriting this sermon. Have you ever been in the wilderness? I grew up in Grand Junction. It's called High Desert. You go up above the canals on the uphill side of the canals, and it's just adobe dirt and cliffs. There's nothing there because there is no water. It's called High Desert. You can find sagebrush there and lizards and I don't know what else. Not much else. A lot of people on motorcycles because that's wild, free, open country, and they just tear around on it. But so there's wilderness there, isn't there? But I've been in some other wildernesses as well. Have you ever been in a forest? And you take a walk in a forest, and maybe you get a little turned around. And all of a sudden you're looking around, and there's trees. But I don't remember which tree I went by a minute ago. It doesn't look familiar. And all of a sudden you might feel lost in that wilderness. Years ago, I climbed the Twin Peaks down above Buena Vista. Got up on top, and we were gabbing, the bunch of us that went up, and then coming down, gabbing so much that I didn't follow the trail that I had been following going up. We came over to a place that was basically a vertical drop. It was not a pretty scene. We got down, but we were stuck in the wilderness there for a while, in the middle of the trees, in the middle of the forests. You could be stuck in the wilderness at sea. I'm not a sailor, haven't been out, beyond the side of land on a boat ever in my life, and there's not much to the Colorado Navy. That was a joke. But that could be a wilderness too, stuck in the middle of the ocean, and the odd part is dying of thirst. But because you cannot drink all that water that's all around you. Now, Jesus' wilderness, if you've been to the Holy Land, it's that scrub oak and the pinyon. And if you've been in Grand Junction, then there's another there area above the Colorado National Monument called Glade Park. And they've got sand and sandstone and lizards and pinyon trees and saguaros. I guess they don't have saguaros up there, but you've been in a desert, and you understand that desert, that wilderness. And I've been in the wilderness of having a family and working five jobs, and the kids are not sleeping, and I'm not sleeping, and we're just making bills, just barely making ends meet, and every day you jump in the car, and it's another day, and you finally get home, and you get to sleep, and the next thing you know, either the baby or the alarm clock's getting you up and you start again. Lost in that wilderness. It's easy, it happens. It's that journey. And intriguingly, in all of those, what you need is water. Think about that. In the middle of the ocean, you don't have water. What a heck of a business is that? I have been in the forests and you come across a stream and you know you shouldn't drink from a stream unless you know all of where it's been. And I have made that mistake once in my life. Don't do that. But being stuck without water. You remember in the Bible, Jesus tells an account of Jesus. And he and the disciples are traveling through Samaria. And they come to a well, and Jesus is tired, and he sits down by the well, which I love because Jesus tired. By golly, Jesus is just like us, isn't he? But a woman comes, the disciples go into town and try and find food, and a woman comes to the well, and they begin to talk, and things go on, and he says, if you would drink of the living water, you wouldn't have to come here and draw. And she says to him, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did all his sons and also his livestock? You have to realize that in that countries, in that desolate deserts, when people, ancestors had found wells or dug wells, and they would share the locations of those wells with their family. So here she is referring to her father Jacob, who had found this well, who had exposed this source of water so that they could survive. And she asked Jesus, are you greater than Jacob and all of that? And you're going to bring water that I don't have to keep drawing? She says, where do you get this living water? Well, she's thinking about the water in the well. She's thinking about having to haul water. Have you ever lived somewhere where you had to haul water in from the well? Not a lot of us. They lived in Pagosa Springs in a ranch. 7 kids. And you draw a bucket out of the well, and you bring it in and set it on the counter. And she said, the last cup of water always lasted the longest because whoever emptied the bucket had to go get more. But I've been in situations where we had to tote our water and bring our water in, haul our water. And here's the woman thinking, this is great. I want that living water. This would be a good thing. I wouldn't have to haul all the time. He's fine, Samuel. We've got a budding preacher over here. Amen. Thanks, Samuel. Yeah, I love having kids in church, don't you? I just love it. It brings life and light and joy. And they love spicing it up. Boy, am I off track. Where was I in the sermon? Oh, I was talking about water, wasn't I? Water. Carol Danielson takes care of me. Every Sunday, there's a cup in here, and she refills it with fresh water. This tastes fresh this morning. Is it fresh? See, she never... Our hostess. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. It's not living water, but it's fresh water. And that water is essential to us. Did you hear Jeremiah? And are you aware of what we're hearing there? God is speaking through Jeremiah to the people, and God says, for the people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that hold no water. He's not talking about water and cisterns. He's talking about pagan gods. You see, false gods. Gods that people might begin to believe in but are not real. Cracked cisterns is making a reference to clay gods. You could buy a little clay icon and it'd be this god or that god or whatever, but sometimes the clay wasn't done quite right and it would crack. There's your god all cracked in half. What a heck of a deal is that? And so he references these false gods of Egypt and Assyria. He says, why then do you gain by going to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? He's not talking about the water. He's talking about the false gods? Or what do you gain by going to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? You know, I am not a specialist in other religions at all, oddly. But I went to Wikipedia and I looked up the gods for Egypt. There's over 1,000. I thought, okay, I'm going to list them all this morning here. But you've heard of a few, Osiris and Isis and Horus and Anubis, and they have all the funny heads you've seen, you might remember. But one other one you've heard in the Bible is called Baal. B-A-A-L, Baal. He's an Egyptian god, little g. In Assyria, the most famous one we would know would be Asherah. Asherah, and there's some part of her worship that has to do with a pole and a tree and people worshiping Asherah. And we hear the references to that in the Bible in numerous places. Why do people go to Egypt to drink from the waters of the Nile? Why would people go to Assyria to drink from the Euphrates? He's not talking water. He's talking false gods. People in Jesus' time were pulled by, in many directions, by many things, and some by multiple. And there was an industry that went on there, and you need to understand that there was a whole cottage industry of making these icons, making clay idols, you know, and selling them to people. And their blacksmiths were making them out of bronze and silver and probably gold and woodworkers who would carve things for you so that you could have your own little god and put it on a little shelf in your house, and you had it, you had control of that. You could just, something handy to hold on to, something concrete and something you could kind of control. It's nice to be in control of gods, isn't it? Especially when you feel out of control. But these are temptations. And the Ten Commandments, you recall those. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and meets with God and comes down. And the very first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one, have no other icons before me. Have no other gods before me. And that word before can also be translated above or over. There are no other pagan gods that I get along with. I am the only one, and you don't have a choice. It's either me or them. How many of you know what binary means? How many of you know how a computer works? Okay, computers are really stupid. They only know two things. They know yes and no, one and zero. It's binary. Do you know the movie Tron? Was it Jeff Bridges? I'm way off track here, but I'm going to go there anyway. Jeff Bridges is in a movie called Tron, and what an odd title. It's a computer term. It means tracer on, and you can trace a computer program to try and find the bugs. So TR, trace on, Tron. Its complementary or command is trough, T-R, off, tracing off. Most people that have watched Tron don't know what Tron means, and you don't need to. But Jeff Bridges, there's a laser involved. It's always a laser to do fun things. He gets injected into the computer, and so he's living there in the computer doing interesting things that get sort of bizarre. And he's sitting there in this globe of this little blob floats up next to him, and he's trying to find out, and he says, are you from around here? And he says, yes. And he says, what can you tell me about around here? No. Well, is there some way? Yes. And it goes on and on like this, and finally he looks at him and he says, you're a bit. See, a bit can only be one of two stages, yes or no. And so he's talking to this little bit. You're going to have to go back and rewatch Tron now, aren't you? No, I'm not getting paid to get you to go back and watch that. God is binary in the same respect. It's either Yahweh, the Lord God, the Triune God, or other gods. Simple choice. But there's no in between. There's no having both. There's no kind of this and kind of that, and a little of this and a little of that, picking and choosing. Yahweh is exclusive. I will have no other gods before me. And that's as it should be, because we need to turn completely and turn our lives. I was trained as a police chaplain, and my training was in Santa Fe. And they said one of the training, or one of the areas that we were trained in, was to go and make notifications to families when something had happened. Somebody was badly injured, somebody was in a wreck, something awful had occurred. A police chaplain is the best choice to go there. And they said, this is hard to do, but you need to understand as well if you're going to do that in a different culture. Santa Fe, they have a lot of Native Americans. And they had an instructor that came in and he said, if you're going to make a notification in a Native American house, you might go in and they will welcome you in. And once you're inside, and you might say, could I ask you for a glass of water? And they will make and bring water for everyone. And this is not only a symbol of sharing together and of nurturing one another, but they know that this is also, there is news here that's going to be hard. So it prepares the way. Could I have a glass of water? An interesting choice, isn't it? That water that is nourishing. And if you have ever been in a situation where things are chaotic, pause and get a glass of water and take and slowly just drink a little bit of water. That's an amazing phenomenon. But today's sermon then is about our journey in Lent, our journey into the wilderness, and our facing our temptations and trying to decide who we are, whose we are, and where we are in a chaotic world and in a desolate desert at times, in times of crisis, and it's a time to reestablish our priorities. You know, think about all your priorities, your jobs and money and longevity and health and status and beauty and fame. And a younger generation, how many likes you've had on your latest post. All of these temptations towards being the most important, how we prioritize who we are and what we are and what we're about. And in this Lenten journey, turn to the only place where we can find living water. Not water that you have to refresh, that you lose, that dissipates over time, but the living water of our Lord Jesus Christ. And acknowledge that in Lent, God chooses you. And in this Lent season, I encourage you to choose God. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to our communion. If you'd like to open your hymnals and follow there, you can do so on page 13. Otherwise, you can follow on screen. was with God and the Word was God. And I think it should be there now. Can you hear me now? In the trials and tribulations, the desert of all of our technological things, living water. Amen? Page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise you, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. If you are joining us online, if you'll just be prepared by gathering elements of bread and something to use as bread and something to use as the drink, the cup of juice or wine, you should do so at this time. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks for the fruit of the vine, the liquid nourishment, the water of life. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you partake of it in remembrance of me." I invite the communion helpers forward. Is my microphone on, Michael? Would you mute me, please? In Tonga. We give thanks for these bread and juice. Amen. So it's time for water. Let's gather at the river. Stand, if you will. Let's sing verses 1 and 3, please. Can we do that, Miss Paya? Sir Mark?
Shall we gather at the river where bright angels feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Testing, is it on, Michael? I'm good. Can you hear me now? Lord, can you hear us? Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, turn to God, turn to the living water. Share that living water, inexhaustible, free and flowing. The name of the Lord is ours to share. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing. God's people said,
Amen.